Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We are glad that you're here. All of us in the room and those of you joining us online, welcome. We'd like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for a long, long time. The Lord be with you. Thanks. Depending on when you showed up, it was snowing or not snowing this morning. And depending on if you're a football fan or not and who you cheer for, you were... You might have been up late, and you might be happy or sad this morning. But regardless of how things are going in life, in the world, we have an opportunity this morning, just like every Sunday, to center our hearts and our thoughts on the God who made us and loves us and has brought us here. So let's bow our heads and pray to him as we begin. Thank you, God. Thank you for the chance that we have this morning to sing to you and to pray to you and to listen for your spirit speaking through the scriptures and to gather around your table. God, we need this. We need times when all the other stuff that dominates our thoughts and our emotions the rest of the week, when all these things kind of get put in perspective, when we realize what a big God you are, how small our problems are by comparison. We need to be reminded of your love for us, of your presence with us, of the power that you have for us. So please, God, would you remind us of these and all that we need? Would you provide for us today your grace and your presence? Would you help us to have hearts and minds open to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, that he's never left me down. He's faithful through generations. Hallelujah. desert, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. We sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. We sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why we trust him. That's why we trust in God, our Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. That's why we trust him. That's why we trust in God, our Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Amen. Amen. I invite you to join me in prayer, would you? Lord, this morning I'm so thankful for a God who will never fail. You never have, you never will. You're not capable, Lord, of failing us. There's so much around us that we can't trust. And yet, Lord, we can trust in you no matter what is happening. In our lives, in our world, in our families, in our communities, Lord, you are the one thing that we can always trust, to always be true, to always be faithful, to always be working on our behalf. Lord, you hear us when we cry out to you. You answer our prayers. Maybe not when we want them answered, maybe not in the way we want them answered, but Lord, you always answer them. And it's always the best for us. I thank you, Lord, for this truth that we can rely on, for this truth that we can rest in, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for these people that are here this morning, people joining us online. For each and every home, each and every life, each and every community that's represented, Lord. You're doing great things in and through each of them. And I am so thankful. Thankful to see your work in our world, even in those spaces that seem like you have abandoned. We know that you are there. We know that you are working. Lord, help us to see you working to cooperate with you in those places. In those places where people need Jesus with skin on. Jesus with hands and feet, Lord. I thank you for the word you've given Pastor Rich this morning. I have no doubt that it's a word that somebody here needs to hear, maybe even me. Be with him as he shares your word for us this morning. Be with us as we take it in and we listen and we allow it to change us and to make us more like you. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory because you alone are worthy as we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
Okay. While folks in the room continue to greet each other and celebrate the Bears win, I just want to say hi to those of you who are joining us online. And my name's Rich Schmidt, if I haven't met you. One of the pastors here, and glad to have you joining us. Since you couldn't shake our hand just now, or we couldn't shake yours, if you could drop us a comment, just let us know you're with us. Or if there's something private you'd like to communicate, you can go to that link that's on the screen, livinghope.info/connect, and you can communicate with us privately. Let us know how we can pray for you, thank God with you, any of that kind of stuff. And all of us in the room can do that. Or you can just grab one of those little green cards back there and fill it out and drop it in the offering box. And that way we can be praying for you or follow up with you if you need to. And if you're giving today too, you can drop that in there as well. Or you can give online. All of that works. I do want to say, take just a brief second to thank all of you who continue to give so generously to Living Hope. I mentioned at the end of last year that we were bumping into not quite making our budget, and some of you stepped up and gave a little extra, and because of that we were closer. So thank you very much. Some of you decided, you talked to God, and God said, yeah, give a little extra, just like Stacy and I talked to God and gave a little extra. So as all of us give what God calls us to give, this church will have the money needed to do all the different ministry that God calls us to do here and around the world. So hey, if you got one of these, then on the back, I just want to highlight a couple things. This is a busy week here at the church. There's something going on almost every night. Except for Monday. I think Monday's the only day that, we'll be in the office, but every other day this week, there's something happening. Tuesday night is that trauma reboot group. It's starting. I mentioned it last week. It's being done by Healing with Human Connection, and if you want to be a part, they still have a couple of spots left. I think it's $20 for the workbook, and there are flyers outside, out in the lobby about it with QR code and that kind of stuff, or you can just go to rebootrecovery.com and sign up there. Wednesday night's our usual Wednesday night stuff, youth group and Bible discussion group. And then Thursday night is a Joyful Noise worship night where you can, it's another worship service, but not just us. It's other churches together. I think Hans is bringing the message this Thursday. I'm looking forward to hearing it. And so it'll be good. Hopefully you can join us. And then Friday night, the Hope of Israel congregation meets here. And then Saturday, it's a new group that we haven't partnered with before, but they've been doing this in Lake County and a couple different places in Porter County. It's a group called Yahweh Army, and they do free meals about once a month. And so they're doing a free meal this Saturday here at 12:30. And it also involves some worship. I think, are you, yeah, Missy's going to be up here leading some music. And I think Alan, who leads us, kind of share some of his story and how God's been at work in his life. And then they're hoping to fill this place up with people who want cornbread and what was it? Ham and beans. Yeah, I grabbed the flyer so I'd know. But there are some of these out there, too. If you know somebody that could use a free meal this Saturday or if you just want to be here, the idea is that folks who might not get a meal otherwise are welcome. But the flyer says all are welcome, no cost, no judgment, just love, food, and community. And we thought, well, yeah, we'd be happy to host something like that. So if you want to be here Saturday, there's a free meal, and hope you'll invite a friend. I think that's all I needed to say by way of announcements, and I'm not seeing anybody flag me down. So, you know what? I will share one other thing that I haven't mentioned. I don't think I've mentioned it on a Sunday morning. I've been mentioning it in conversations, and of course the board's been working on it for a while, but many of you know that we own the house on this side of the church. That's why at Easter we do the Easter egg hunt out in the yard. We're not just invading someone's space when we do that. That's the church's house that faces Valparaiso Street. And for the last 11 years, we've just been renting it out to folks. It was just community folks, people who needed a place to live. For the last few years, it's been a couple of folks from the church. Diane's lived right next door here. And what's that? And Linda, yep. Yeah, but she's not in the room. You're right here. I just want to, anyway. Diane and Linda from church here have been living next door. They've now moved out into their own place, and we're renting it to Family Promise of Porter County and Gabriel's Horn. Those two are combining forces, those two nonprofits. And it's going to be transitional housing for women who are needing a place, like a step between shelter and their own place. And so we might have some neighbors that we have an opportunity to welcome right next door as they are making their way out of homelessness and toward self-sufficiency. And we're thrilled to be able to partner with them to be able to serve more folks in our church who need that kind of help. So, okay, you're waving at me. What's going on over there? Come on up. What is it you want to tell us about, Missy?
Also, I don't know if you've been out that way, but they're building a 24-unit apartment building on Axe Avenue, Project Neighbor is. They're getting very, very close, but they have some super tight deadlines. They're working indoors, but they would love volunteers. I know they're having a big volunteer day on Monday, but really anytime, they would love some help.
Very cool. And I am so glad that you mentioned that, because I also needed to mention... Habitat for Humanity. We've been inviting you to give, and this Saturday they've got a work day that they've got some open spots, and if there's anybody that wanted to go help build the Habitat House that we've been giving to help support this year, it's in Portage, they've got some open spots. So if that's something you've been saying like, oh man, I hope I can help build the Habitat House this year, let me know. After the service, grab me and say, hey, I want to help with that. Or write it on a card or text me or something so that I can put you in touch with them and so you can be there. They can expect you, know to expect you this Saturday to help build that. I think that's it. Whew, I've probably forgotten five other things, it feels like. But before we dive into this morning's message, I would love it if we could just pause again to pray, to quiet our hearts, to prepare to listen. God, we hope that what we hear this morning isn't just my thoughts, and we're not just reading some stuff that was written down a couple thousand years ago, but God, our hope every Sunday is that we would hear your Spirit speaking to us. For thousands of years now, as followers of Jesus have opened the pages of these books, scrolls, documents, as we've read what these earliest Christians wrote, for thousands of years now, Christians have sensed your Holy Spirit speaking to us. And God, we pray that that would be true for us today, that we would hear what the God who made us, what the God who loves us, wants to say to us today. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you were here last week to hear Pastor Alan Santos visiting from Brazil share a message. He kept calling it a Christmas message because it was the story of the Magi from Matthew chapter 2. And I had somebody say to me when they saw the notes this morning, say, oh, lots of scriptures today. Because last Sunday, Pastor Alan just preached from one passage. And my answer was, yeah, I'm not good enough to do that. I have to have lots of scriptures to get us through. I'm not a good enough speaker to just pick one little passage and preach from it for the whole 20, 30 minutes. But I was glad that he brought that message because last week was the Epiphany Sunday, the Epiphany when, which the story of the Magi is appropriate. It's when the presence, the mission of Jesus, when Jesus was revealed beyond just the scope of the Jewish people that he came to and that he was a part of, but to the whole world, where it was revealed that, hey, this is for everybody. This is for you and for me, all us folks who can't trace our family tree back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Jesus came for us, and part of that story of Jesus coming to us in John chapter 1, I think we read this as part of the Christmas story, says he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And that's what I want to talk about today. This idea that that in Jesus, that by putting our trust in him, believing him, accepting him, following him, he invites us to become God's children. I've been listening to a lot of things about, the new year and changes and, everybody's wanting to change some habits and all of that. I know I've got some things. I don't know if you've got some things. I didn't make any resolutions because I just break those. But I've got some things I would like to, some changes I'd like to see happen in my life this year. Our boys are turning 10 this week. And when they turn 10, then they can start going to the Y with us. And so that's one of our things we're going to try to start doing is making a regular practice of going to the Y with the boys so they can exercise and so dad can exercise and you know, work off some of what I've been putting on the last 3 or 4 years. thinking back to the last time I actually lost some weight when I was running the Chicago Marathon last night. Since then, it's been a kind of a gradual climb toward where I am now, and I'd like to go down that hill for a while. And so, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. And so I've been, you know, the podcasts I regularly listen to, it's a new year, and so some of them have been talking about the changes that we'd like to see make. And I'm guessing you've got some changes. I'm guessing there's some things in your life that you're like, yeah, you know, I'd really like for this to be the year that I finally stick to that, or I finally develop that habit and it becomes a part of who I am. Or I finally, I don't know, maybe you're wanting to quit some bad habit or start some good one. Maybe you're just recognizing there's some aspects to your life that, you know, aren't really pleasing to God, and you're thinking, well, God's been bugging me about changing this. Maybe now is the time. Maybe now I can make some changes. And one of the things that I caught this last week, it was a quote from a book that said that we do not rise to the level of our goals. You know, you can have all kinds of good goals, and we generally don't rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our identity, was the quote that they had. Others have quoted, we fall to the level of our habits or our systems. But the one quote that I heard is, we fall to the level of our identity, of who we are. And then some totally different thing I was listening to was talking about that. Like, if you're wanting to be, like, say, a runner, I mentioned I ran the Chicago Marathon a few years ago with World Vision, raising money for clean water, like we do every May with the Global 6K for Water. When you want to do something big like run a marathon, you don't just set a goal saying, I want to run a marathon. Now, that's not a bad thing to do. But that doesn't necessarily get you out of bed in the morning. So they said, instead, think, I'm somebody who goes for a run every morning. You know, even if you just run around the block, even if you just run, you know, a mile or run whatever it is, even if you run really, really slow, you barely, you know, you're getting passed by people walking their dogs, I'm someone who gets up and runs in the morning, you know. And you think, I'm becoming that kind of a person. That's the kind of person I want to be, the kind of person who, whatever it is. And, and to do that, for that to be effective, your identity can't be, your goal can't just be to stop something. What do they call those, dead person goals? Is that what I saw they called this last week? The kind of goal that a dead person could do better than you? If your whole goal is just to stop something, you know, like, I don't want to do this anymore, I don't want to look at that anymore, or smoke that anymore, or whatever it might be, it's like, well, a dead person could do that better than you. So that's like, that's not a great goal. Instead, you got to have like a living person goal. Like, you try to think of the positive that you want in your life, not just the negative that you're eliminating, and start to think, okay, what kind of person would I need to be for that to be true in my life? Who do I want to become? What kind of person? What do I want my identity to be? And for a lot of folks out there, you know, depending on what you're listening to or what you're reading, it's just kind of a choose your own adventure at that point, right? You just kind of pick your own identity. What kind of person do I want to be? And I thought, well, for us who are following Jesus, we've already kind of been given an identity. It might be good to just focus in on that. He tells us that he's adopted us into his family, that he gives us the right to become children of God. So what does that mean for us to be God's kids? What does it mean for us to be made new in Christ, to be redeemed, to be someone loved by the God of the universe? 2 Corinthians 5 is a common verse that gets brought up in the beginning of the year. Verses 16 and 17 say, so we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This is written after the resurrection, after they see, like, whoa, he's the Son of God. He's, you know, King of Kings. He's defeated death. We view him differently now, not just from a human point of view. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now, one thing I appreciated, there was a lot I appreciated about Pastor Alon's message last week, but one thing I appreciated is that multiple times he said that this isn't just like our story. The story isn't about us. It's a story about God being on a mission and God sending his son and about what God is doing in the world that we get to be a part of. And the same thing is true here, that God is renewing all things in Jesus Christ, that there's a new creation. What's been upside down is being turned right side up again. And if we belong to Christ, we get to be a part of that. We get to be made new. I liked one translation that, that said it this way. So then if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The Greek that we're translating to English is a little bit choppy. It just says, if anyone's in Christ, new creation. You know, and so a lot of translations say, oh, that person's a new creation. But you could also read it that way, like, hey, there's a new creation happening in Christ. And if anyone's in Christ, if anyone belongs to Christ, they're a part of that new creation. The old things have gone away. And look, new things have arrived. God is making all things new in Jesus. And we get to be a part of that as we trust in him. I mean, that's why he showed up, was to gather us all up, to help us to be part of this new thing that he is doing, that God is doing in Christ. So who are we going to be in this new year? Are there some things that you want to leave behind in 2025 or whatever, in the rearview mirror? You want to leave them back there, and you want to become a new person. That is possible in Jesus. Seeing change happen in your life is possible. I mean, this room is filled with testimonies to that. I want to tell your stories, but those are your stories to tell. You know, people who are celebrating anniversaries of how long they've been sober or clean, people who can point to, well, periods of their life that they don't like to think about because there's some, you know, unsavory stuff that they were a part of, things that they did, and it's like, man, I wish I hadn't done that, but that's a part of my story now. But also part of my story is that in Christ, I'm a new person. Also part of my story is that God has grabbed a hold of me and is changing me and is helping me to walk on a new path, to live a new life, to be a part of this new work that he is doing. If anyone belongs to Christ, if anyone is in Christ, that person's part of the new creation. Ephesians chapter 2 says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. He says that was a dead kind of life. You were spiritually dead. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. Just in case you felt like Paul was pointing fingers, this is the Apostle Paul writing to these early Christians in Ephesus. He's saying, you were dead. And he's like, all of us were. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. We were just kind of doing what we wanted to do. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. And here's one of those phrases that I love, that you see from time to time through Scripture. But God. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. So do you get that picture? He's saying, like, look, God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus died on that cross, and God raised him from the dead. And so all of us dead folks, dead in our sins, we belong to Christ. We get life along with Jesus. We are raised with Christ. That's why he says it's only by God's grace that you've been saved, because dead people don't get up on their own, right? God gives us life when he raised Christ from the dead. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So he's saying there's some part of us that makes us who we are, that even now, even though we're walking and talking here, there's some sense in which we are still united with Christ. And Jesus, he shot up into the sky. He ascended. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead, according to the creeds, right? According to Scripture. He says, we are seated with him, secure, safe, in God's hands. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. He's saying, look, God has done so much for us, and he wants to be able to point us out as examples. There's another passage I didn't fit in here that says we're God's workmanship, we're God's masterpiece. It's almost, I can kind of picture, it's kind of like my kids. They've been getting into art and stuff lately, and, well, they've kind of go in these phases, right? Lately, they've been back into wanting to paint and stuff like that, and you know, as they create these masterpieces, and some of you are chuckling because you've had 9 and 10-year-olds. They create these masterpieces, And lately they've been selling them too. They've been they're setting up shop in their room with here are their paintings, and like this one's 10 cents, this one's a dollar, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, great, I'll take one. You know. And they display them, right? They're proud of them. And I almost picture God that way, like we are His masterpieces, like He's putting us up, you know, so He can point to us as examples, oh man, you should see what I did with this one. Oh, they were a mess. Oh man. They had really wrecked their lives. And then, finally, one day, they said, okay, I'm done trying to do this on my own. I'm done trying to fix myself. Okay, God, I'll let you do your work in me. And man, look at what I was able to do with them. Look at the change I was able to work in their life. Look at the impact they made on the people around them. Look at the way their whole workplace turned around after they started being a beacon of light in that dark place. Look at the way their family changed after I got a hold of them, and they started cooperating with my spirit instead of fighting against it. Man, look at this. Like God's just pointing us out as examples of His grace, of His kindness, of the amazing work He can do when a human being says, okay, God, I'll let you do what you want to do in my life. And God, by His grace, makes all things new, forgives sins, changes habits, changes the direction of our lives, gives us a new identity. We belong to Him. We're His people. That's what Peter talked about when in one of his letters. We have 1 Peter chapter 2, a little snippet from that. He's talking about people who stumbled over Jesus, who didn't recognize Jesus for who He was, but he says, but you're not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. It's like you were in the darkness, but God's called you into the light. You belong to Him. You're His possession. He has chosen you. And then he quotes the Old Testament that said, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. That reminds us that He's not saying, when He says you're a holy nation, He's not talking, He's talking to people who lived in another part of the world, you know, halfway across. He's not talking about like the nation that we live in, right? He's talking about us as a people. Like we have an identity now as God's people, as God's family, as God's children. Just like the nation of Israel was the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's like now we are the family of God. He says, you had no identity as a people because the church was made up of people from all sorts of different places, right? And so they might have known themselves by their past identities, you know, their nationalities or their work or their accomplishments or whatever, you know, position they had risen to in the, you know, social stratosphere, whatever, whatever ladder they had climbed. But they weren't a people. And now he says, now you're a people. God has gathered you from all those different places and He's given you His name. He's given you His identity. You're His possession. You're His family. So that's the problem for some of us is as we try to make changes, we're still living like by those old IDs, by those old ways of identifying ourselves, right? We're trying to live different, but we still think of ourselves in the old way. Sorry, I'm still reeling from last night's loss for Packers fans. Stacy's from Wisconsin, and so we cheer for the Packers in our home. Afterwards, I said, you know, I kind of hope the Bears go all the way so that the Packers lost to, like, the Super Bowl champions, you know, and she was like, no, she can't bring herself to want that for the Bears. So, you know, the last several weeks have been rough for Packers fans, and there's this part of it almost felt like, oh man, the Packers have become this team that falls apart at the end. You know, like, that's become their identity, sadly. Really hoping they can turn that around and have a different identity when the next season starts. You know, and the Bears have become this team that, like, comes back from behind, that gives everybody a heart attack, and then, you know, in the last minute pulls it out. So, you know, that's become their identity. Now, I think if they're going to go all the way, they're going to have to, you know, maybe not try that so much. I don't know. We'll see. But you know, like, who are you? Like, as a people, who are we? And as individuals, who are we? What's our identity? Who are we going to be? And, if we keep just thinking of ourselves, if we let ourselves be identified by our past, by our pain, by our peers, by the things that have been, any other P words we can think of? if we let ourselves keep being identified by the things that have been done to us, what we've suffered, there's all kinds of different ways we can identify ourselves, right? And think of ourselves. And if we just keep living by those old scripts, it's going to be really hard to like tack some new habits onto that or make any real changes. So we kind of have to let God like change our primary identity, right? Give us who we really are, that we really, even though, yes, I'm an American. I live in America. I'm glad I do, you know. But that's not my core identity. If America falls apart or something, what did the fears used to be? It used to be that Russia was going to, you know, bomb us into oblivion. Then for a while, China was going to take us over, you know. If the Canadians decide they're sick of all this and they just come down and take over the whole country, if there is no more United States of America, I'm still a child of God. I'm still one of his kids. I'm still a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever country I might live in, whoever might be in charge, right? If we want to see our lives get pulled, like I almost feel like our identity kind of pulls us in the direction, in a certain direction. You know, like, and so if we can picture ourselves, okay, I'm a child of God. I'm someone who, I'm going to bear some resemblance. There's going to be a family resemblance between God and me, between Jesus and me. And as I cooperate with his Holy Spirit, he's going to make me look more and more like Jesus. He's going to be transforming my life. It's like that identity like pulls us in the direction that we want to go. It's not going to be as much of a fight. It's going to be, no, we're just living into this new identity that we've been given. I've got 1 John chapter 3 in here where he says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are." He doesn't just call us his kids. He adopts us into his family. He makes us his kids. He gives us his spirit to live within us. The Bible says that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you, in me. That's earlier in Romans 8. And then by verse 15, he says, "So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." That might be, I feel like in that verse, maybe it's the beginnings of a prayer. If you struggle with this, that maybe you're just needing, God, please, would you affirm for me? Would you give me that assurance that I am your child? Would you help me as I live this life? Would you remind me that I belong to you, that I am yours? Like, we need God's spirit to join with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children, right? To be a voice that says that to us, to counter all the other voices in our lives that say, "Oh, come on." You know, because if you got friends, if you're trying to make some changes and your friends aren't trying to make those changes, whatever those changes might be that you need to make, your friends likely aren't going to be like, "Hey, good for you, man." You know, they're probably going to be like, "Oh, come on." You know, because then you're going to make them feel bad about like changes they should be making, and you know, they don't want to feel bad, and so they're going to try to drag you back and like, "Yeah, I told you that wasn't going to work." We need God's spirit reminding us, no, you're my child. Change is possible. New creation, new life. It's happening now. You can leave those old sinful habits behind. You can experience something new. So in Galatians, as I was copying and pasting and putting it all in here, I said Ephesians. This next passage is from Galatians, not Ephesians, all right? I was looking it up before I got up here. I was like, "Oh, yeah, there was a verse right before that. What was it?" I'm looking at Ephesians 5. I'm like, "This isn't it at all." Oh, it's Galatians. Okay. In Galatians 5, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Like, that whole Galatians 5 is all about, like, yeah, your sinful nature. There's a part of you that still wants to go do this, but if you let the Holy Spirit guide you, you won't be doing that. It says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. And I'm guessing as you think about changes you might want to make, some of those kind of fit in there, don't they? You know, like I know for me, I see like, okay, God, help me to be a more gentle parent. I struggle sometimes when the boys are frustrating me and they're misbehaving again. And there's a part of I used to have a real anger problem, and I thought it was completely behind me until we had these boys, and I realized it's not completely behind me, and there's still a chance for me to act that, for me to, you know. And so what I'm, one of those identities I'm trying to live into this year is I'm the kind of dad who keeps his cool. I'm the kind of dad who pauses and who, you know, is gentle with his kids, no matter how frustrating they might be. Right. So maybe there's one of these fruit that you're realizing like, oh yeah, that's maybe the Holy Spirit right now is saying, hey, I'm wanting to grow this in you this year. As we move ahead, I'm wanting to grow more of this in you. I'm wanting to see more of this in your life. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Like, we're dead to that life. We're not doing that anymore. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So I don't know. Maybe as we move into a new year together, maybe that's a prayer. Like, okay, God, help me to follow your Spirit's lead in every part of my life. Is there a part of my life, God, that you want to see change? Is there a part of my life, God, where I've been resisting your Spirit instead of following your Spirit? God, is there an old script, an old identity that I've been continuing to live out instead of allowing you to help me to know myself as your child? Is there something that you want? Is there some way that my life could better reflect, you know, our family? You know, better reflect you, God, and your grace and your love, and better allow this fruit to be grown in my life by your Holy Spirit. And then if there is, if you've already identified that, if you already know, like, oh, no, I don't need to pray that because God's already been working on me for the last, you know, couple of months, couple of years, whatever it might be. I know some of the changes that God wants me to make. Well, then maybe just start to imagine yourself that way, right? Start to imagine. I mean, that's part of what faith is like trusting God for what we can't see yet, right? Trust that, okay, God, if you really want me to become that kind of person, the kind of dad that is gentle with his kids, if you really want me to be the kind of person who is compassionate to those who are less fortunate, if you really want me to be the kind of person who is gracious in difficult situations, difficult conversations, where I don't just dig in and try to win the argument, but I'm gracious toward people who disagree with me. Whatever it might be, right? God's giving you this picture of the kind of person he wants to help you become. Then start to picture yourself that way. And say, okay, God, if a year from now I'm more gentle or more compassionate or more gracious or whatever it might be, then start to picture that future that God is drawing you toward, the person he is helping you to become. And maybe even as you make your way through your day, you'd think, okay, well, what would that kind of person do? How would that kind of person respond in a moment like this? And maybe God can use that to help guide you toward the person he is helping you to become this year. None of this is by us just like buckling down and working hard and sweating at it. Not that it doesn't take effort, but it's not us accomplishing any of this. That's to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he talked about, you know, new creation, and we get to be a part of it. He says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God's making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. It's a gift. This new identity as God's kids, it's a gift. The forgiveness that he offers, it's a gift. The fresh start that he gives, not just at a new year, but man, it's a good time to be thinking about it. When you're already thinking about it, when you're already thinking about changes you might want to make, man, it is a gift that God helps us to become the people he created us to be, redeemed us to be. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray for a moment. Before we celebrate communion together, I would like for us to ask God, what are the changes you're wanting to make in my life this year? What are the fruit that your spirit wants to grow more of and display in me? What's the work that you want to do in me so that you can use me as an example, so you can point me out the amazing work that your grace can do in a human person's life? And God, I pray you'd help us to begin to imagine ourselves like in the future, when you have already done this work, as we have cooperated with your spirit and the changes have been made, and we are living a life that looks more like Jesus. God, would you help us to see ourselves that way? To see what we look like, fully open to your Holy Spirit, fully given to your work in our lives. Help us, God, not to allow ourselves to continue to be defined by our past failures, our past painful experiences. Help us, God, to believe you when you tell us that we are your kids, that you love us, that you have a life for us that is so much better than the life that we'd made for ourselves. Help us, God. God, we do believe that this is possible. We do believe that you can make these kinds of changes, because we see it all around us. Some of us have experienced it in our own lives. And so, God, just like you have been at work, we pray that you'll continue to be at work. Just like we've cooperated with you in the past, we pray you'd help us to cooperate with you further, to allow you to continue to refine us and shape us and make us into the kinds of people that reflect your grace and your love. People who look like Jesus. Thanks, God. Thank you that we get to celebrate this amazing love in this sacrament of Holy Communion, offering to you these gifts of bread and juice, and praying that by your Holy Spirit's presence we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, you took bread and broke it, gave it to your disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You gave them the cup and said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." This, you said, is the new covenant, the new agreement between God and humanity, that you took our sin on yourself so that by your death and resurrection, you could break the power of sin and death and set us free. Just like you freed those Hebrew slaves from slavery in Egypt, you are setting us free from sin and the power of the devil, who had enslaved us, forced us to live a life that was ugly and, well, that was dead. And you have come and given us life and freedom and hope for a better future. Thank you, God. Thank you. Today, we say yes to you and to all that you want to do in us. We say yes to your grace and forgiveness. We acknowledge, God, that we need it. We've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. There are probably specific things for each one of us here that you've been working on and telling us about, and today we just need to agree with you and say, "You're right, God. Oh, man, that old identity, I need to let go of it. Those old sinful habits and patterns, I need to let you crucify them. I need to be dead to that life and let you give me this new life that looks like Jesus." Thank you, God. Your word tells us when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So wash us clean. Give us a new imagination for the lives we can live, the people we can become as your children. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. We've got the regular little pita bread pieces and the round gluten-free wafers, and we've got the individual cups if that works better for you, because we want everybody to be able to celebrate today, healthy or sick. That's why we've got the little individual cups in the back, too, if you feel like, oh, I better take one of those this morning. Christ invites all of us to his table to experience his grace and to celebrate his love. Let's do that.
Give.
Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for loving us and for showing that love in your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ. Change us from the inside out, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, that we might live as your sons and daughters, reflecting your grace and your goodness to the people you send us to this week, this month, this year, the rest of our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen.